It is good to see everyone today. I hope you have had a blessed week. We are continuing our series of lessons entitled, How Do You Know You Are a Christian? From 1 John. Today we're looking specifically at You Don't Practice Sin. This is a much needed lesson in the modern church. There are two extremes that seem to be common practice among many churchgoers these days. There's one extreme that says we really don't sin much at all. There are a lot of people who seem to have lost the capacity to honestly evaluate themselves and to see where they fall short. They may even have the idea that they've reached a level of spiritual maturity where they have risen above most sin in their life, and what is in their life is really insignificant or unimportant. When you confront these folks with a discussion of sin, they're not really ready to say, well, here are my shortcomings. Instead, they're more apt to defend themselves and to not really want to list where they fall short. Then there's the other extreme that says, sin, yeah, I have it, but it doesn't really matter. Not that much. You won't find too many people openly promoting this idea that sin doesn't matter. But what you will find a lot of Christians practicing. They wouldn't dare say it in a Bible class, but you can find them living it. These people often misuse the idea of God's grace, thinking that, well, you know, God is great and I'm saved by His grace, so whatever shortcomings I have, I don't have to worry about it at all. He'll handle it. Both extremes have a tendency to leave sin entrenched in our lives. They have a tendency to either have us overlook something or not see something or not do something about the sin that can be pervasive in our lives. Now, what we're talking about here is the practice of sin. We're not talking about an aberration or a weakness in temptation. We're talking about the standard way some people live. This is their life. So what we need to do this morning is see what John, in the letter that has already talked about walking in the light and how the blood of Jesus cleanses us and how forgiveness is available for us and to us, what does he have to say about sin? And in particular, the practice of sin. If you would please stand for the reading of the Word of God from 1 John 3, 4 through 9. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has seen Him or knows Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that He might destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Thank you. Be seated. I need to begin by saying it makes a huge difference how you read these verses. Because when he says in verse 6, no one who abides in him sins, no one who sins has seen him or known him, think about that. No one who abides in him sins. You could get the idea based on what John is saying here that, well, if you are a faithful Christian, if you really are a faithful child of God and you really are abiding in Christ, then you can't sin. Or you won't sin. You can get that idea from that verse. The problem with that, with interpreting it that way, is what John has already said in this letter. He's already told us if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Chapter 1, verse 8. And then he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. So John says, we sin. We're Christians. We're children of God. And we sin. And then he says, little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if you do sin, understand we have an advocate with the Father. And these are things that John has already written. So when you put that side by side with what John is saying now, what are we to understand? We know, first of all, we are going to sin. It is going to happen. If we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. Number two, we also know that when we sin, we have an advocate. Someone who will speak on our behalf, and it is Jesus Christ, the Lord. We know that for a fact. We also know that whenever John is talking about sin in these verses, he's not talking about a single act. He's not talking about a moment of weakness. He's not talking about being tripped up. He's talking about the practice of sin. He's talking about a lifestyle of sin. He's talking about someone living a life that is marked by sin instead of a life that is marked by righteousness. That's what he's talking about. So let's see what he said. Initially, he says the continual practice of sin condemns one as lawless. Everyone who practices sin. The New American Standard Bible translators did a fantastic job by saying everyone who practices sin. The text does not say, like some of your Bibles read, the one who sins practices lawlessness. Because everybody sins. This is a lifestyle. This is a way of living. Practices means to continue to do or to practice at doing something. And the idea for sin in Greek means to miss the mark, to miss the bullseye, to not hit the target. I went into John's office this week and I went into Joe's office this week. I said, okay, I need a background for sin. The PowerPoint presentation. What do you got? Because whenever I Googled the word and looked for photos, none of those could be used in a worship service. And Joe said, well, isn't the essential meaning missing the mark? Ha ha. Thank you, brother. Honor to whom honor is due. So what we're talking about here is missing something. And what is the mark or what is the target that we miss when we practice sin? The target is the righteous life. The target is the God-filled life. Or like he said earlier in this chapter, the target is the pure life. So when we continually practice missing the target, when we continually practice, think about this, sinning, practicing sinning is practicing missing. Who practices missing? He says, when we do that, we also practice lawlessness. We're not talking about the accidental breaking of a law. We're not talking about a moment of weakness. We're talking about how someone lives. Their way of life. And John says, when we live this way, practicing sin, when that happens, we are living as someone who is lawless. Someone who has a wanton disregard for what is good. A wanton disregard for what is right. So, this first point, we really need to ask ourselves, what is it that marks your life? What is the identifiable characteristics of, what are they, of your life? Is it righteousness? Or is it sinfulness? Then John says the continual practice of sin contradicts the work of Christ. And you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In our passage that we're looking at this morning, John says, here are the two purposes for Christ's original appearing. The first, to take away sin. And the second, to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he appeared. So why would a follower of Christ, why would a disciple of Jesus live in such a way as to contradict the very purpose or the very reason that Christ came to earth? That's what John is trying to say here. The very reason that Jesus appeared was to set us free from the bondage of sin and to decimate the works of Satan. That's why he appears. So why would a Christian choose to side with Satan? Why would a child of God practice sin so that their life is identified by sin? It's the mark of their life. So much so that they have ended up siding with Satan. For a child of God to do that, it contradicts the work of Christ. It makes no sense. Then he says, the continual practice of sin is contrary to our calling. No one who abides in him sins. And that's not a single act sin. It's a continual, perpetual thing. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. John says it is not possible. It is not possible to abide in Christ and to live a life of practicing sin. We can't do it. It is unthinkable. It is impossible. Now, John seems to be making a sharp distinction between someone who thinks he's a Christian and is living a sinful life and someone who really is a Christian and isn't living a sin-filled life. He's drawing a distinction, and he says, no one who does this has seen him or knows him. You don't grasp Jesus. You don't have Jesus. You don't know him. You have not seen him. You have not experienced him spiritually. You do not know him. If we live this way, it is contrary to our calling. It contradicts who we are. Living a life filled with sin makes it impossible to remain in Christ. Impossible. That's what he's saying. Look at the universals. No one. No one. So we shouldn't fool ourselves into thinking, you know what? We can do this on Sunday, and we can put on this front, and we can put on this mask on Sunday, and then we can live however we want during the week, in the weekdays, and somehow think that because of what we did on the Lord's Day that we're okay. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. It's contrary to our calling. Then he says, the continual practice of sin can cultivate deception. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. There were some Christians, some brethren, who had been deceived into thinking sin doesn't matter. Not only were they thinking that, they were promoting that. They were saying the practice of sin doesn't matter. We've overcome that. We've risen above that. Grace covers that. Forget it. Don't worry about it. Don't make that important. They had bought into that false teaching, and they were trying to lead others astray down the same path. Well, John says, let me talk to you about the standard of righteousness for just a minute. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. I don't know if it's human nature or if it's something Satan has put into our hearts or what. But for some reason, people seem to have a tendency to compare themselves to other people. And usually when we compare ourselves to other Christians, we certainly don't bother comparing ourselves to those that we consider more righteous than we are, or more devout than we are. Instead, we compare ourselves to those that we consider less righteous and less devout. John says, the standard of righteousness is not the behavior of others. The standard of righteousness is not what the world may say or what the world may think. He says, the standard of righteousness is Jesus, just as He is righteous. When we use anything else, when we use anyone else as the standard by which we measure our conduct, we are deceiving ourselves. We are lying to ourselves when we compare ourselves to other people. We should be comparing ourselves to Christ. There were some people that were deceived there. They were deceived into thinking sin didn't matter. They were deceived into thinking, you know what, brothers? I'm better than you. I'm good. If you're saved, I've got nothing to worry about. They're deceived. And then he says, the continual practice of sin certifies one's evil sonship. When I got to this point in my lesson preparation, I thought to myself, what more can I possibly say about this point other than read the verse? But there is more to be said. But it says, the one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. I want you to see something in particular in this text that our English might not communicate clearly. One who practices sin is of the devil. That was a prepositional phrase that was very frequently used to delineate a parent-child relationship. And so, this could be even more, what's the word I'm looking for? The language is even stronger than it appears. This could, in your translations may render it this way, could just as easily been rendered, the one who practices sin is a child of the devil. Wow. Now remember, John isn't talking to people who aren't Christians. He's talking to a church and he's talking to believers. He means it is possible for a Christian to claim to be a follower of Christ, to claim to be a child of God, to claim to be a disciple of Jesus when in reality, by their actions, they are really a child of the devil. Wow. But you know he's not really saying anything new, is he? Jesus said it this way, by their fruit you shall know them. Those who abide in Christ, who are remaining in Christ, that word that John uses constantly, produce the fruit that's in keeping with being in Christ. Jesus produces that fruit in their life. But the continual practice of sin, living a lifestyle marked by it, certified evil sonship. And then he says, the continual practice of sin is incompatible for Christians. No one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Here John drives the point home finally. No one who is born of God practices sin. We can't be children of God and live that kind of lifestyle. We can only be children of the devil. No matter what we say, no matter what we believe, no matter what we think, no matter what we've been taught. And then he says, because his seed abides in him, and the trees that have died and the ink that has been spilled over that, I cannot tell you. Is the seed the Word? Is the seed the Holy Spirit? Is the seed the very nature of God? Is it the offspring of God, referring to the new birth? I can honestly tell you, I don't think this side of eternity I'm going to understand that because statement. Here's what I do understand. That I cannot be a child of God and live a life practicing sinfulness. Because I have been born of God. It is incompatible for children of God to live that kind of lifestyle. So the question I want you to consider this morning is not, did you sin yesterday? I'll answer it for you. Yes, you did. Did you sin this morning? Probably. The question is, what is the mark of your life? Do you practice righteous, or are you practicing sinful? Because if you look at your life and you say, you know what, it's marked by sinfulness, you cannot be a child of God and live that way. And if you've put on Christ and you're living that way, you need to come back to Christ. You need to be restored to Christ. You need to have your brothers and sisters, your family here pray for you for forgiveness. It may be that you haven't put on Christ in baptism, that you haven't been immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. You can leave a child of God today if you need to respond. Do it as we stand and sing.